Welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. Deep sigh there, girl.
That was a deep sigh. It was, well, I guess let's be honest, Dan. Do you think about your MS?
Well, obviously, I mean, you know, I the sense that here we are with podcasts talking about multiple sclerosis. We have a website talking about multiple sclerosis. We advocate for multiple sclerosis. I live with the frickin' disease every minute of every day of my life for the last 25 years.
But do you think about it? Do you worry about it? Do you think about its progression? I mean, do you feel like you named off all of those things?
Right. Well, and I think from that standpoint, I guess I was being like, oh my gosh, well, of course I think about it. But at the same time, I don't think about it. It's just to where, you know, everything, if I may say aforementioned things of what we do with MS, I don't feel that that's necessarily me thinking about the disease. Does that make sense? I'm just like, I think obviously I have MS, but I don't think about MS any more so than from the standpoint that I'm bald. You know, I have no hair, so I need to cut my hair. I'm blind in my right. I've been that way since I was 11 months old. Don't think about it. It comes up every now and then, but it's just like, that's just part of who I am. It's what I need to deal with. And so how often do you think about your multiple sclerosis?
Well, if we're being perfectly honest, I think about it all the time. You know, if I have to go to the bathroom, TMI out there for you listeners, I'm sorry. But if I have to use the restroom, I have to ask for help, whether it be from you or from caregiver Jen. I always need assistance. Or if I want a sandwich, I have to ask for help. And I think that maybe as much as I can say it doesn't bother me, it does bother me. And maybe that's why I think about it. It's my everyday reality. But I read an article, because not that I need self-help books, but maybe I need self-help things. But I read an article that says that distractions are important. And I liked that, because I sometimes think that, I don't know if anyone out there listening or if you feel this way, Dan, but sometimes I can get so into my own head where, like, I'm wallowing, you know, just in saying that sentence about needing help to use the restroom. And that can be kind of depressing. And so when I saw that about distractions being positive, I was thinking, yeah, I need to distract myself more.
I guess then we're putting it out on the table. You know, when we talk about, like, thinking about the disease, thinking about multiple sclerosis, thinking about the fact that you've had it for, coming on 27 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then that I've had it for, you know, 25. But it's just like, when you think about thinking about the disease, I guess, what does that look like? Is it, how do you distinguish between I'm thinking about multiple sclerosis, or I'm just thinking about the realities of what I'm living with, or which overpowers it?
Wow, that's a really good question. I think the realities of what I'm living with, because it's been, you know, I stopped walking, or it became apparent that I could no longer walk. It's been 22 years since I've walked, so I'm used to that, so I don't think about it anymore. I mean, of course, occasionally I think, whoa, what if I could walk? Wouldn't that be dreamy? And I suppose you have to do that so that you can continue, you know, you haven't given up. But it's when I think about the fact that I do have to ask for help so much that, yeah, that's, I don't think about, oh, my MS is flaring up until, you know, recently I had this little spat of nystagmus and vertigo, but I don't tend to normally think about the disease progressing. So it is, that's just me where I think about, it just really makes me angry sometimes what I've lost.
And so then it really, it's not so, I mean, it's more the impact of the MS and what's there. And I think that's what it is. It's almost like there is that level of acceptance that it's like, it's MS, it's here to stay. But then it's everything that comes with it. That it's just like, you know, the not being able to walk, my numb hands, my not being able to run anymore because I can't lift my left leg easily.
Well, I mean, right now it's CRIM time. And for those of you listening, the CRIM Festival of Races happens in Flint, Michigan. And it's a race, like a running race for people to run, obviously. And you used to participate in the CRIM and you don't do that anymore. And does that make you angry?
No and yes, yes and no. Well, I think that, you know, back in the day when I was first diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, it's the reality, I never could run. I never was a runner until I met this girl from Flint named Jennifer. And I just removed it. And, you know, that's the story I've talked about before. It's just like, you know, because there was a girl I needed to stay healthy, so healthy for, so I started walking. Then once you get all that mileage in, you're just like, my gosh, if I got 1.1 more miles, I could be doing a 5K. And so that was my thing. And so I started running 5Ks. And I think that, you know, back in the early days, the first 5 years following my diagnosis, I mean, even like 7-8 years, I would run at night, and that running was my litmus test about how I was staying ahead of the disease. And so when I would run the CRIM, I mean, the CRIM itself, I think, is...
It's 10 miles.
I was thinking the CRIM is 10 miles, but then they have all the other shorter distances. And so I would run the 5Ks at the CRIM. I did not want to put the time in to get the endurance up to run 10 miles. But I do remember when I went, I bumped up from the 5K and ran the 8K at the CRIM. And I remember that day. And I don't want to say that it was like at that point I ran the 8K. And I don't know if I like, you know, it's like a mic drop and I left, you know, Dan Digman, you know, has left the building.
Yes.
But it was just like, I think at that point in time, I was like, could I like continue to run to try and improve my times? Sure. And I kept running, but then once I started falling more in the runs, it was just like, the safety of it, and it wasn't worth running, continue to run for the risk of what would that do for me as your caregiver, for me as somebody living with the disease. And so I stopped, and I think that that's, I don't ever look back with regrets. And I know that, you know, is what you used to say when we would be driving around town and we'd see people out running and you'd ask, I mean, you still do occasionally, I mean, like once in a blue moon, but blue moons happen, right?
Correct.
And you say, do you miss it? And I'm always like, I do, but not to the point that I'm going to go out and start running again. Does it make me mad? And I'm disappointed, but at the same time, I never was a runner before I had MS, you know? And so then
that's,
it's just like,
that's kind of deep. And I mean, just to think that you got diagnosed with this disease, you and I were talking this weekend about how when we were first diagnosed in the late 90s, we were told, you know, to take it easy, don't overdo it. And then what, like 15 years into your diagnosis, that's when you started running?
It was probably, what, I was diagnosed in 2000. We met in 2002. So, I mean, I was like
running with, you know, within
a couple of years.
That's true. I mean, sorry. Time's just going by so quick.
Right. But it is. It's just like where you do that. And it's just like I don't live with regrets. I think that's the big thing, is always thinking in terms, especially in living with the disease. And I share this with you every time when you're toying with saying, well, should I do this? Should I do that? Back and forth. And I'm always like, what would you, if you woke up tomorrow, would you regret more not doing? And it's, so it's just like, do I regret not running anymore? No, because I stopped running when I was going to graduate school. That was a priority. I can't get back into the running. And I think that's unfortunate as I let that get away from me, that, you know, in terms of being able to walk. And now it's just like,
does that make you angry? Just that the disease, the darn disease progressed. I don't want to have like this pity party. No, it's not conversation. A pity party.
We're having a conversation. I mean, this,
but all... it's frustrating. And I suppose, You're my optimistic husband, and you always pep me up. And now I just want to know. I mean, I look at distractions. Like, that's how this whole conversation mm-hmm. started. The things that distract me and get it outside of my head. And I just wonder if things like that help you. If, you know... Is it, do you want to just kick me and say, Jennifer, stop bringing up the fact that I don't run?
No.
Or, I mean.
I think just in terms of distractions, it's, and I think that's the big thing. That's what we, you know, in terms of talking about this today, and this isn't just you and me bantering, hopefully through this conversation, everybody out there listening, just to have that perspective and think about things in terms of like, what distracts you from not thinking about the disease. And I remember back when we were dating, and there was one time here in Michigan, and for the Saginaw chapter or whatever, the family day at the adventure park with
yes.
animals and stuff.
Yes.
You know, because so often, and this is so often when you have MS and they have like family events or events, everything is focused on the disease, and here's your new treatments. Here's your new this. These are developments in disease. Blah blah blah, which is all well and good, and we need that. However, if all we are fed are things about the disease, it's just that much more overwhelming, and you can't break out from thinking that. So that family day at the park with the animals, with this, that, and the other thing. For that moment, for that afternoon, nobody thought they had MS. I mean, we were there with other people with the disease, and obviously we needed to make sure things were handicap accessible and whatnot. But at the same time, it was a fun day that wasn't about multiple sclerosis. And I think that's just where to be able to step away and having those moments, and that's what really inspired this conversation about distractions, is just, how much do you think about the disease, and how much do you just step away and not think about it? And is it possible to step away and not think about it? I mean, you tell me.
Well, we went to a baseball game last night. We saw our local Great Lakes Loons.
Our beloved Great Lakes
Loons. Our beloved, nice way. And that's true that, you know, we were at the ballpark. And it's funny, we were dog sitting for our friends, and my biggest concern when we left the dog, who does not wear a watch, but I said, okay, Breslin, we will be back in 5 hours. And so not my biggest concern, because I was watching the game and having fun, and the team did awesome, and I was enjoying the fireworks. But my biggest concern was getting home, because I told the dog that we would be home in 5 hours. And you're right, that distraction. I don't think I thought about multiple sclerosis.
And to which I'll ask though. We were at the ball game. I mean, we go to the Loons quite often throughout the year. That's the thing we do. We go to minor league baseball games. But we're at the game. But how much of what we're doing when we're at the game has MS involved? I mean, A, we always have to get handicap accessible seats. B, you know, we love that place because there's a really, really nice handicap accessible family restroom to help you. And that, you know, we know that I, you know, you go to a ballpark, you want hot dogs and beer. Well, I mean, the walk to get to the beer stand, the hot dog stand, whatever. I mean, I'm walking back. I always have to, I order the beer. I get it. I have to pretty much drink it halfway, you know, like at least a third of the way down because I know I'm going to have to walk down the concourse to our seats. I'm going to spill it because I don't walk all that well, or, you know, I'm sloppy. Can I say sloppy?
Absolutely.
It's just like, you don't have to walk slow. So I don't want to spill beer all over the place. And so we know that. And then the same thing with food and the same thing, you know, as far as controlling your liquid intake, because then I have to walk and go to the bathroom and just the urgency that comes when you're living with multiple sclerosis. So all of that is there, but at the same time, it's not a darn you multiple sclerosis. It's like, it really becomes more, that's just what I deal with. And that's just life. But I'm thinking about the MS related things just in the sense that I chose to go to the game, and this is what I'm there as part of the game. I'm not there because I have multiple sclerosis.
Wow.
I mean, is that the way to distract, because it's like, obviously multiple sclerosis and everything that's with it is going to be part of that. It's part of our being, but how much attention do we give that, make that the focal point? It's like, no, that's just a distraction. It's just the same as, like, today we had for church, we had outdoor worship with like three other denomination congregations. We were there. It was hot. You know, you get out in the sun, it was like 88 degrees and it was hot, but never once did you think, oh, it's hot, we can't do this. I mean, you think the heat, you think of the impact that heat has on your multiple sclerosis. But that's just part of the environment. It's not that, oh, I can't do anything because I have MS and it's hot and it zaps my energy. I mean, obviously that's there, that's the point. But it's like, you're not there to think about your multiple sclerosis and how that zaps your energy. You're there because it's church and it's potluck, it's community. That's your focus. And I think that's maybe the distraction, is just a way to shift the focus away from the MS and the impacts of what it does to you. Am I lecturing now? Do I need to just step off and turn off my mic?
I don't think you're lecturing. You're just giving me a good way of thinking of it. And I suppose the distraction of going to the baseball game is I was sitting there and I was watching the baseball game and I wasn't thinking about MS because I don't get up and go, you know, you get up for the beer. But then when you came back, I was conscious of, like, you know, I was watching you walk and I was careful. But I suppose in those few minutes I can think of, I worked with a fellow MS advocate, and she talked about being present in the moment. And so maybe that's that where that distraction came, where I was totally living that, just being present in the baseball and watching the game, and I wasn't thinking.
Can I say this, and you know, praising you, and just for everybody out there in listener land, I mean, it's just like, because really we're talking about this, just these are our experiences, and hopefully then it helps you as listeners to like almost like flip the narrative or flip the script. But what I will say though, comma Jennifer, is that what's the one thing you did as Dan Digman's go, because you don't drink beer, because, I mean, obviously you sponge off me, but at the same time, what's the one thing, because I'm paying, you know, and that's fine. You know, I'm paying with my debit card, blah, blah, blah. I go to get a beer and a hot dog or get pickles, you stopped me and says, okay, get my debit card. You wanted your debit card from your purse because right behind us, and what you oftentimes do is get the big home handmade fresh lemonade, and it's right there by us. I went and got it. You took the debit card. You went and got this big mega jug of lemonade. I had said, they're right there. Can you just have them set it in the drink holder? I come back. There's lemonade there. And you're just like, oh, no, I carried it. And, you know, I need a new straw. But it's just that you did that. You got a big, and we were talking about MS bladders and stuff. But you said, you know, with all due respect, you said, screw it. I'm getting lemonade and I'm going to have this. You know, almost like MS be damned. This is what I'm doing because I'm at the baseball game. Doesn't mean that you had to drink the whole like 24 ounce lemonade.
And I didn't.
You didn't, no. but you did. And it's just like, so then how much was that lemonade distracting you from your MS, even though there are ramifications and implications and hell to pay if things go south with, you know, 24 ounces of lemonade. But at the same time, was that a distraction, or how do you justify that?
It's like that time in the airport when you needed medicine and I got it for you.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted lemonade yesterday and I wasn't going to let you walk and get your beer and your hot dog and then come back and then have to walk and get me a lemonade, even though the stand was closed. It was like, I can do this. And so that was my mission. And I was pretty darn determined. And I suppose I need to be like that more, where I'm really focused and I can do this because I wanted that darn lemonade and it was very delicious. And then there is that moment of, yeah, when it took a minute and I had to like hoist it up and to get it into the cup holder when we got back to the seats. But there is a, you know, a moment where you're like, good job.
I was just going to ask then, how empowering is that? I mean, you know what? Obviously, we're talking about distraction. We're saying how MS is always there, but at the same time, it wasn't so much multiple sclerosis anymore. I mean, it's just like, these are the things that you have to deal with, the challenges that you face because of the disease. But then it became more so, this is what I can do, and I'm doing it in spite of the disease. And I mean, just what does that do for your emotions and your...
Well, my confidence was good. Yeah. I was very happy I had a lemonade. And to be perfectly honest, I was thinking, gosh, what a little bit of vodka in this. And I, you know, that's like hearkening back to my college years. So I suppose that's a good distraction. And it was good. Just that little distraction. And I think that all of us out there living with MS, we need to, I suppose, find those distractions, whatever they look like for you. If it is going to a ball game or getting a drink.
Going to a game, doing church, going to the store, doing things, and not just, like you said, just to with the multiple sclerosis, and it's so easy to sit and truly let it literally and figuratively get in our heads of like, and just monopolize everything. And it's like, there's so much more than MS, and it's just like a matter of making MS part of who you are rather than who you are.
Yes. And I think that it's much easier to say, oh, I'm not just MS. And maybe that's why I need to distract myself, is because, yeah, I am pretty much all MS. You know, that's who I am. And that's who we are. And it, like a distraction, just to remember every once in a while that you're not just this disease, and that you can you can take an art class with, you know, a support group, or you can have your friends have their dog and you take care of their dog for a while, or you can call and.
That's the thing. It's just like, and it is going beyond the MS. It's like, we got back from the game last night, let Breslin out to go to the bathroom. And then we felt bad because she had been at the house here for 5 hours while we were gallivanting over in Loonland.
And it's like,
oh my God, the pickles. But it's like, 11:30 at night. It's pitch black outside. We live in a dark neighborhood. And you're like, do you want to take her for a quick short walk? And just that we're there. I'm exhausted, you know, and we have our little clicker and my steps, and I've got all these steps, you know, over like 6,000, you know, but it's like, yeah, let's do this. And just walking two houses down and back in pitch black neighborhood. But it's just like, and never, I mean, obviously, yeah, my legs are tired and sore, but it's like, that's just what we do. It's like, you're distracting. I mean, obviously we couldn't walk all the way around the neighborhood, but it's like we did something just in spite of the disease. I mean, and so that's the distraction, I think. Then just like, I don't want to say success begets success, but it's like, then like you with the lemonade, us walking after all that time, you just do it. It's just like, you know, there's your happy moment. There's chalk it up to, you know, look at what we did.
Yes. Yes. And that's true. And those distractions, those moments, they're something that we need to remember, that I need to remember, and maybe look at the cup a little differently. Don't look at what I can't do anymore. I hate to be, you know, but I need to look at, I could carry it. I could carry some lemonade, or you could, I mean, heck, you could go to a baseball game. And you walked a crap ton of steps yesterday. And I'm so incredibly proud of that. And with your cadence shoes that you're walking and that we're doing. And maybe I needed a little attitude check, just to remember to focus on the things that we can do and not. I mean, certainly I'm still focusing on the things I can't do, but to try and look at the things. I mean, getting lemonade, it seems so silly, but you're right. That was a pretty empowering moment. And I do remember sitting that drink in the cup holder and kind of looking around. I wanted to see if anybody was like, cheering for me, because it was a heavy.
Oh, it is.
It's heavy. And I mean, I'm the person that should be cheering, and it's awesome that you are cheering for me. So,
well, and that's the thing. We need to be our biggest cheering sections, you know, and if, you know, we don't need to wait for other people to cheer for us. It's like, go with your awesomeness. But this is not to say that we can't have those moments where you think, yeah, this is MS, this is a disease, this is huge. But it's just like, how do we control it so that it doesn't become the focal point? It becomes the wallpaper in the experiences, where it's just kind of there in the background. And you obviously, if you have flowered pattern on your wallpaper, you don't want to have more flowered pattern. Throw pillows. You want to have something to balance it out. So it's just like, don't let it be everything, because it just doesn't work.
Yeah, that's good advice. And it seems so silly that I've been living with the disease for as long as I have. And maybe that's something where maybe it's the end of summer and things are slowing down, and I know that fall is approaching. And that, you know, that I did have this little nystagmus vertigo thing, and it threw me for a loop.
And just for clarification, you would talk to your neurologist, and it doesn't seem like that was caused by multiple sclerosis.
No, it was just a crazy positional thing, and I was afraid it was MS. You're right.
Totally.
And so there you have to refocus and say, no, this is nothing to do with the disease. this is just a head cold or a, just a, I, as silly as it sounds, like a nose spray, and just kind of that seemed to help. And so you can't attribute everything to multiple sclerosis, which is your big point, and just take the distractions. And I think it is a mental thing that you have to constantly get yourself back into check.
And I think that is the big thing. You talk a mental thing. I think it is just providing that distraction. Give your mind a break from the multiple sclerosis. And that's something, I mean, we will have links in our liner notes to the article that sparked this whole thing about the distractions. And we'll have other ideas or just ways to help everyone look into ways that you can distract yourself from your MS. Not saying it ignored entirely, but just ways to help you not think about it. So be sure to check out the liner notes there. And
wow. And for anyone who's curious, and just to clarify, the liner notes are just our little additional text. The links that we have in our show notes from this episode. And thank you for letting me kind of clear the air and talk about distractions and distracting myself with this podcast today and reclaiming and re-seeing some of the things that I still can do.
Amen. So, wow. Well, thank you all for listening. And then, check us out and let us know, how do you distract yourself from not always thinking about multiple sclerosis? I mean, we can talk about our experiences, but, this is your opportunity to share with others. Just what do you do to distract yourself? And you can send us an email, is acoupletakesonms@gmail.com, or you can go to our website, is acoupletakesonms.com, or Twitter is @coupletakesonms. Wow. But yeah, let us know, because it's just like we're two people. Obviously, we're both living with different forms of the disease. But what about for you? Because MS treats everybody differently. Certainly, we don't have on the market on MS distractions. So let us know. But until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman, and I'm walking.
And I'm Jennifer Digman, and I'm Roman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. Together, we're moving forward. Take care.